All right, so good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Magnolia Public Schools Special Board Meeting. My name is Jennifer Lara and I'm the Executive Assistant here at Magnolia Public Schools. It's a pleasure to be with you all here today. Before we begin, two reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. And second, if you're a member of the public and you would wish to give a comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. If it's something you feel uncomfortable in doing so, you do not have to state your name. However, as a reminder to the members of our board and staff, please state your name before speaking. And with that, we'll officially begin today's special board meeting. Today is Thursday, April 29th, and the time is 6:05 p.m. Rabbi Belek, may you please call the meeting to order.
Good evening, everyone. This is Rabbi Chaim Beliak, and I appreciate your attendance at our meeting, and the meeting is now in order. Can we call the roll?
Yes, thank you, Rabbi Beliak. So I'll now take roll call. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yabanel? Dr. Dikbach?
Here.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Here.
Ms. Covarrubias? Mr. Mohamedov?
Can you hear me, Jennifer?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Okay, here.
Thank you. So we have four of our board members joining up with us today. We've established quorum. So with that, we'll move on to the approval of the agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a board member like to move the motion?
So moved.
It's okay, you do your homework.
Thank you, Rabbi Belek. Is there a second?
Second it, Mikon.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. I'll now take vote. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Dikbach?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you to our board members. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to the public comments. Just a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comment, 6 minutes if translation is needed. We did not receive a public comment form for this meeting. However, if you're a member of the public and you would wish to give a comment, please unmute yourself. Perfect. If there's no public comments, we'll move on with the agenda. Next, with the announcements from the CEO and superintendent and board members, I'll turn this over to Mr. Rubalcaba.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good evening, Magnolia Board of Directors, Magnolia staff, family, and community. So we start today with a very happy note in the sense that we have officially opened up all of our schools. So today, MSA 5 was our last school to reopen its doors. So with that, you'll hear more about it as we kind of go through these different items. But we're very happy and we're very grateful for all the school sites, for all of their hard work, home office staff. Obviously, it's been quite a run these last 3 or 4 months getting ready to reopen. But we finally did it. And I think the biggest pay, the biggest compliment one gets is the smiles that you get from families and students as they come in, obviously now with different health and safety protocols, but it's great to see. And now it's our turn to build great momentum as we lead into the end of the year festivities, which culminates with graduation, commencements, 8th, 12th, 5th grade, elementary. So we look forward to giving you more updates on that front. With that, I'll turn it over to our chair, Rabbi Beliak, to see if he has any updates for us. Rabbi, you're on mute.
Good evening again, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Chaim Beliak. I would just like to congratulate our staff and everybody that worked so hard to be to help us to be ready and to open our schools. I'd like to congratulate the staff for its tremendous efforts. Finally, I'd like to suggest that I realize that a number of us are fasting, and we want to recognize the special effort, especially since our meetings are coming at the conclusion of people's Ramadan fasting day. And at 7:30, if we're still meeting, we will take a break adjourn. We will adjourn, and we'll come back in about a half hour to allow people to break their fast. Once again, we do have matters of public concern, and we will be raising them here in the meeting. We ask people's indulgence, as this mode is a little bit difficult. If we would prefer to be meeting face-to-face, maybe that's in the offing soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak. For minutes purposes, Ms. Covarrubias joined us at 6:10 p.m. Hi, Ms. Covarrubias.
Yes, hi. Sorry for being late.
No worries. Back to you, Mr. Rubalcaba.
Yeah, with that, no further updates. I will turn it back over to you, Jennifer, to get us started.
All right. So next on the agenda, we'll move on to discussion and information items, starting with 2A, Magnolia Public Schools Annual Authorizer Oversight Reports for MSA 4, 6, 7, and 8. This will be presented by Mr. Ilmaz, our Chief Accountability Officer. Mr. Ilmaz?
Good evening, dear board members, colleagues, and the public. So 5 of our schools have been visited by our authorizers, MSA Santana by the CDE, and MSA 4, 6, 7, and Bell by LAUSD. The other 5 schools are going to have their visits in May. Go down one page, Russell. So in this report, we wanted to share with you our reports from LAUSD. Here you see the ratings we have received. You know, there are 4 areas they check: governance, academics, organization, and finance. So you see the last 3 years' ratings here on the screen. As you can see in governance, we received a 4. Historically, we have been receiving 4, so that's great. We kept the 4 there. For academics, MSA 7 had a 3 last year and a 3 this year. So we kept our rating there at 3. The other 3 schools dropped 1 rating. So MSA 4 dropped from 2 to 1. And 6 and Bell dropped from 3 to 2. Mr. Ajar is going to explain these ratings, because LAUSD has changed their rating system this year, so he will explain it. In organization, we kept our ratings 3, 4, 4, 4. And then in finance, historically we were like at 4s, and then last year we dropped to 3, now this year to 2. And Mr. Orozov is going to explain the drop in those ratings. So let's go down, Jen, another page to the highlights. So we're going to start with the governance highlights, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Rubalcaba for
governance. Thank you, David. And with that, board, this one is super important, because this obviously determines the policies and procedures we implement across all of our schools. And with that, obviously, we've had a strong board of directors committed to our mission, vision, and core values. And we've had a wonderful facilitator in Barbara Torres, who then, kind of moved up the ladder, and she handed the torch to Jennifer Lara. And Jennifer Lara, with the board and myself, and the entire staff, we work very hard to get a 4. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jennifer so she could tell us, what does a 4 mean? So for us, just to put it in a very succinct way, what a 4 means. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Thank you, Mr. Rubalcaba. Hi, all. I'm Jennifer Lara, the executive assistant here at Magnolia. So I'm happy to announce, as Mr. Rubalcaba mentioned, that we did receive a 4 in governance. So what this means is that we've demonstrated fulfillment of the governing board's responsibility to effectively direct and provide oversight for Magnolia, including enactment and monitoring of policies and procedures to ensure the school's full compliance with applicable law, policy, and the terms approved by LAUSD Board of Education. So with that, a huge thank you to our board and staff who, as mentioned, worked diligently for us to continue getting this 4, and for the future, we'll continue working on getting this 4. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Rubalcaba.
Yes, and just to add more context, thank you, Jennifer. This means that you are considered accomplished. And if you're considered accomplished in any category, that means that you have some promising practices that the charter school division does want to learn from. So then they're able to share with others to see how you do achieve a 4. So I think this is a great, great achievement. The next one that I like to talk about is organizational management programs and operations. As David mentioned, we received 3 4s and then 1 3. So that one basically states that we demonstrate effective leadership in the implementation of the board adopted policies and procedures. And we also effectively implement the educational program. And lastly, we ensure that the day-to-day operations at the schools are very strong. So again, not all 4s, the 3 came because in the implementation of the educational program for MSA 4, we did have some mixed results there with our data. And with that, obviously we will work on that to improve that. But again, those are the 2 categories that I'm covering. And I will turn it over to Erdin Chajar to talk about the student achievement and educational performance section.
Yes, good afternoon, board members, my colleagues and staff and public. We have the student achievement data in front of you, and the context with it comes as we know, and we've been monitoring the rules of the game change since last year. You know, specifically to give the context, Assembly Bill AB 1505, as we know, passed and then signed by Governor Newsom on October 3rd, 2010, which actually imposes a 3-tiered charter renewal process based on the California School Dashboard Color Indexes. And as board, you know, we have made you several presentations on the California Dashboard data, our school's colors for the past 2-3 years. You've been seeing our colors. So those colors reflect the student performance in ELA, MAT, and other metrics like student discipline, attendance, you know, post graduation and other metrics. Now, charter schools are now evaluated with this new criteria for renewal. Again, you know, it includes the test scores, suspension, and readiness for college career. So prior AB 1505, which is our previous renewal cycles, LAUSD's oversight protocols included analyzing and comparing students' achievement data as measured by the state assessments in ELA MAT, including all numerically significant student groups, and comparing them with what we call as comparable students in residence school data, like the neighborhood students, the students otherwise will be attending the schools and then the local schools, so local school districts. But now, you know, again, with their similar demographics and conditions that they've been attending, So now with the passage of the AB 1505, LAUSD compares all authorized schools and their data with including this numerically significant subgroups. LAUSD compares them with the state averages as opposed to the averages from resident schools with similar demographics and data. So, in ballpark, the game change is our students compared to the state averages rather than our local context. And that's the biggest change came with AB 1505. As a result, as we know, we are serving predominantly impacted communities, students with struggling students with impacted free reduced lunch and similar subgroups, including prioritized groups like special education, ELs, and other groups. That's being compared with state averages as well. So with that comparison comes our scores lower than the state scores. And in dashboard, we do have several oranges and some red colors for these schools that show decline in the academics as compared with the state. Internally, our comparisons, we're maintaining and exceeding our averages, but as compared to state, now we're actually showing a lower performance. So that's what's been marked on LAUSD's reports. I'll turn it over back to David.
I'll take it from here. So thank you, Erdinch. And then I will turn it lastly to Sardar to give a brief summary on the fiscal operations.
Yes, thank you, Alfredo, and good evening, board members and Magnolia family. So unfortunately, we in fiscal operations, the rating we received for the four schools are two out of four. And there is a specific reason for that. As part of the annual audit process, the auditors are reconciling the unaudited actuals report and any changes to the financials after the unaudited actuals is submitted to LACO and LAUSD early August each year, which is the timeline that we need to submit those reports to LAUSD. And by the way, this report is the final report that includes all the transactions for the year. And if there is any changes, if there are any changes to this report in terms of financials, adjustment to this report after it was submitted, any variance is considered as an adjusting entry to the financials. And because of the fact that we had some entries we had to post after unaudited actuals were submitted early August, we had material entries to some of the schools. And that triggered a significant deficiency note in our audit reports for a number of schools. And the reason for those entries are, if you remember from the last year's oversight report, we were asked by the LAUSD to reconcile the intra-organization loans and convert those to loan agreements in between the schools as of June 30. So what we did is actually that was brought back to you in September. We reconciled all the loans going back to 17-18 and kind of cleaned up the balances and transferred the amounts to proper schools. And that triggered a number of transactions to be posted after the fact, after the unaudited actuals were submitted to the district and the county. And then we had some, prior year accounts payable adjustments that we also had to write off after the report was submitted. Plus, we had some accrued revenue also we had to post after the report was submitted. So overall, all of those entries, caused, some sizable entries in terms of, adjustments into the financials. after the unordered actuals were submitted, and which triggered basically significant deficiency notation in our audited financials. Again, this note is not changing the opinion of the auditors. It is still unmodified opinion, which is the highest standard of the opinion, and we still have a clean audit report. However, because of the materiality limits, the auditors noted this deficiency, and we put together an action plan that we're going to take and in practice that are going to actually avoid anything like that from happening again. And for the most part, you know, those transactions were around the intra-organization loans, which were asked by the LAUSD, and plus a one-time write-offs in the prior year accounts payable accounts, right? So those are not going to repeat, and then we're going to be really on top of any other accruals at the end of the year, and we're going to pay attention, and we're going to try to close the books timely before the unaudited actuals are due to the district and the Los Angeles Unified School District and the county. And hopefully with the measures we're taking here, this is not going to repeat. And the deficiency will disappear in the audit report next time around. We have Scott Gustafson from Aid Bailey, our audit firm. I invited him for the board so that he can answer any questions the board members or the other members of this meeting have on this matter. So, Scott, are you here?
I am. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for coming. Scott is one of the partners at Aid Bailey. He's managing partner, I guess, on our audit engagement. So with that, I will ask the board members if you have any questions that we can address, I can address, or Scott can address.
Thank you, Mr. Orzov. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments?
Sardar, shall we discuss this in the next action item, or can we have questions right now for Scott? This is Mekhan.
We can do both, but I think the way we thought of this is just to have the information item first and have a discussion. And then when it comes to the action item, when we're talking about the action plans, we could just, go through the process of approving it. But I think in terms of discussion, it would be nice to have a discussion right now.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for coming, Scott. So my question is, a question is basically, is this type of reaction in terms of schools having this note is common? How common is it to affect the rating to this extent?
So the reaction to this is, I've never seen that. It's uncommon from an authorizer. So I guess two parts to your question, right? It's not uncommon to have a deficiency, some sort of a control weakness or something noted in the audit. We do a lot of school district audits, a lot of charter school audits. It's extremely normal for that to take place for any number of reasons. This is the first time that I've personally encountered it having any type of a truly negative effect from an authorizer. At worst in the past, from an authorizer's perspective, there might be a question, hey, what's this about? They would ask for, what is the response to, on the charter's side to, remedy the situation moving forward? And that's really the end of it. So this is new territory for us to see.
Thanks, Scott. Sardar, a quick question for you is, sorry, guys, one second. There were several things that led to this, right? That triggered this, right? Not including just the past year, but from what I read on your on the brief report and what you just mentioned is things that you had to write off from 18-19 and 19-20. Can you just get a little bit into that?
Yes, absolutely. I can start, and Scott, you can add if you have anything to add. So we had some previous year balances. When I say previous year, it is 18-19 that are sitting in the accounts payable accounts. And we decided to clean those up because there was no point of carrying those over because, you know, they were not legit balances. And, those transactions, those write-offs actually contributed to the materiality of the adjustments.
Okay.
Thank you. I don't know if that answers your question, Mikan, but basically
No, it does, because it's just for it to be just, it was basically you guys were doing what, I remember this very clearly. I was just starting to pick at the board at the time when we actually approved the intercompany, payments that we had. And by the way, did we make all those payments between schools, schools?
Yes.
All that.
Absolutely. So we, if you remember, in September, we presented to the board a schedule for intra-organization loans. And as part of that schedule, we are making the transfers on an ongoing basis, and we are reconciling the intercompany loans on a monthly basis so that we don't face anything like that, this in the future. So again, even without this red flag by the authorizer, I think none of this would have happened anyways. But again, the LAUSD, the authorizer, asked us to discuss it at the board level and provide them the agenda and the minutes for this matter. So that's we want to present it we want to present this to you and ask if you have any questions, feedback, or comments, and so that we can incorporate any comments or suggestions that you may have in our action plans.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for bringing this up. This clears a lot of things for me and Scott. Thanks also for clearing the questions I personally had. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
This is Rabbi Chaim Beliak. I want to say procedurally, I would appreciate in the future that these things be discussed by the Finance Committee before they come to the board.
Yes.
Two, if necessary, I feel a little blindsided. I realize that we've done things in this area, but I received my packet yesterday. And to be honest with you, I've not fully digested what I'm looking at. While I appreciate the openness and the transparency, I think it's important for us to have a little more time as a board to digest what's being said here.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's a very, those are very good suggestions and feedback. Thank you, Rabbi, for those. So the first one, we had a really tight timeline. They asked us to get back to them with that by the end of the month. And that's why we wanted to bring it as part of the special board meeting. But your comments and feedback is well taken. We're going to make sure to try to provide the documentation and all the exhibits to the agenda items ahead of time.
Any further questions or comments from the members of the board? Right. If not, then that concludes the item. Since this is a discussion and information item, no action is needed. So next on the agenda—
Can I ask you a question?
Yes,
please, Dr. Dikash, go ahead.
Yeah, I think thank you for the explanation. The question I have is like, it's kind of like what if question. So what if we didn't have all these materialized loans, et cetera? So in that case, I guess we shouldn't have that type of thing. And looking forward, next year, that won't be the case, right? Is it fair to say that?
Absolutely. So as I said, there are mainly three reasons why we had material adjustments. Two of them are not repeating items. The prior year adjustments, for 18-19, those were written off. And what we're doing is with the action plan we put together and the structural changes we've made internally. As part of our, work with DMS, the back office service provider, we are reconciling the accounts payable balances on a monthly basis. So that will remedy the problem with prior year accounts payable balances. We're not going to keep on carrying over unnecessary balances year over year. So that's taken care of already, and that will disappear by the actions we've taken. The intra-organization loans, the same thing. That was a one-time thing. Plus, we are reconciling the balances on a monthly basis, and the transfers are happening. We're keeping track of the cash transfers and making sure those are happening on a timely basis, and we're posting the necessary entries to the GL. So that's not going to repeat. And the third one was the revenue recognition at the end of the year. And we're working with DMS, the back office provider, to make a list of all the revenue sources and creating schedules to make sure that nothing is missed out and all the revenue sources are accrued as necessary, as needed.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. And one minor question. Did any pandemic COVID-related expense contribute to it, or is it negligible?
Well, it's a good question. We probably not so much. We might have had some, expenses that went unaccrued as if the date, the unaudited actuals were submitted to the district. But I think those are those were not the significant contributors to the fact. I think that the most important ones, the biggest ones, were the three just that I mentioned.
Thank you for the clarification.
Any further questions or comments from the members of the board? If not, as stated earlier, since this is just a discussion information item, no further action is needed. So next on the agenda, we'll move on to the action item, starting with 3A, approval of action plan to address the significant deficiency noted in fiscal year 1920 audit reports. This will be presented by Mr. Orzov, our Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Orzov?
Yeah, thank you, Jen. So this is, we've already had the discussion, but this is an action plan we're asking the board to approve. You have a background in terms of how this took place, in the beginning of the cover page. And then in the lower part, we have the action plan we've taken. And actually, we've already put in play a practice even prior to LAUSD reaching out to us. So that entails, an ongoing reconciliation in cooperation with the DMS and additional review processes internally so that we can address all of these issues timely. So going forward, I'm very certain that we're not going to have any of these issues. I think I've provided a detailed explanation as to why this happened. And I think all of these remedies will address the processes we're putting in place will address those issues from and avoid from happening again.
Thank you, Mr. Orzov. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? If there are no questions, the motion is to approve the action plan to address the significant deficiency noted in fiscal year 1920 audit reports. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the motion, Mekhan.
Yeah, I second it. Salud.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. Thank you, Dr. Digbush. I'll now take roll call vote. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Digbush?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you to our board members. The motion carries. Next on the agenda, we'll move on to 3B, approval of Magnolia Public Schools revised assessment plan. This will be presented by Mr. Ajar, our Chief Academic Officer. Mr. Ajar?
Yes. Good evening, board members. This is Mukhajar, Chief Academic Officer. We have revisions in our assessment plans, and those assessment plans consist of our state assessments as required by the state and federal laws. We call them CASP, CASPP, California Assessment Option Performance and Progress. as related with the previous item as well, we did not have dashboard data for the previous school year because the testing was canceled due to COVID-19 and because of distance learning happening. We have been bringing into your attention, that we are slowly reopening our schools. And most recently, we opened our school, MSA 5, for partial in-person instruction. With the impact of COVID and every LEA struggling, the California State Board of Education wanted to get a waiver from Department of Education, Federal Department of Education. There was a letter written to Department of Education, and we received a response that there no waivers will be needed because we already are moving in the direction that the LEAs have option to administer local assessments. But then if LEAs wouldn't be administering the state assessment, there has to be a really, really good reason for that. And therefore, we were being asked to consider whether it was viable to administer those assessments, specifically the assessments in grades 3 to 11 in ELA and MAT, which are due in May in the upcoming weeks. The testing window has been extended till the end of July, but that really does not help a whole lot. So we went through a feedback mechanism to check with our schools. Each one of them are their own LEAs, and ask whether it's viable for them to administer these tests based on their context. The feedback that came from them, which you'll hear from two of our principals, is that it's not viable to administer those assessments in those grade levels, in grades 3 to 8 specifically, because number of reasons, and we listed those reasons here, and they include to access to secure browsers, access to stable broadband and adequate bandwidth, challenges of non-managed devices, capacity of proctoring and monitoring remotely, students' requirement for non-embedded accessibility supports, which are our students with disabilities. They require specific accessibility supports like text-to-speech or other modifications or accommodations. And the amount of time schools have been or will have been providing full in-person instruction, as well as local pandemic related factors. So based on those factors and feedback coming from our task force, our school leaders, our teachers, we are considering our internal assessments, which are, you're familiar with our NWA MAP assessments. And these assessments have been approved by the State Board of Education to produce verified data, which is actually important for renewal purposes. So we can administer NWA MAPs and then those assessments, as you know, we administer two or three times a year for growth, student progress and achievement purposes. And these assessments results, we can actually get immediately right away at the spot on the same day, which actually is useful as compared to SPAC, CASP data. They come in late in September, October, which helps, but does not help a whole lot with informing the instruction, doing our remediation enrichment classes. With NWA, we'll get those results right away in May, and we can even start addressing the student needs in summer, as early as in summer, as well as when we start the school year right away. So we have an updated list of revisions. Again, we are not administering, we are not planning to administer ELA and math for grades 3 through 8, but we are considering administering grade 11 math and ELA assessments for the reason that these assessments can be used and will be used from California State University in lieu of their placement exams. So our kids, when they go to college, they don't, they're not being placed in remedial classes in ELA and math. They can start their A through G college classes right away. For the same reasons, we are not administering California alternate assessments, which we have limited amounts anyway. So these are alternate assessments for kids with significant disabilities as captured in their individual education plans, and as well as the science test, which are not actually part of the accountability metrics, but has similar administration protocols to SPAC tests. So we found those won't be viable to administer as well. We'll continue with the rest of the assessments as required, including finishing our LPACs, summative LPAC assessments. Those are assessments for our ELs, English language learners, and AP tests as well. So those are college entrance tests, based, you know, college level tests based on the AP classes and being admitted in May and June. So with the modifications, we don't foresee you know, a big impact. You know, our analysis and our observation, many large school districts, including LAUSD, has the similar assessment plan. Including many charter schools, they do use NWA MAP assessments, and we'll be able to produce our data for renewal purposes, our verified data, and our indicators with our internal assessment blocks that our kids have been administering for 3 to 5 times a year, as well as our NWA MAP assessment show that we capture the progress and achievement, and we'll be able to report it to the public and our authorizers for accountability, and then for, and use it internally for our academic instruction purposes. With that, I'm going to turn it over to two of our principals to talk about their vetting process, you know, why it's not, it was not viable for these assessments to administer. Mr. Sahin, are you available?
Yes, Mr. Roger. Thank you. This is good evening, dear board members, colleagues, and public who are listening to our board meeting. This is Mustafa Sahin, principal from MSA1. So there is another test that we have to administer, like similar to SPAC, which is called LPAC. For those who kind of remember in the past, it was called CEL test. We have to test our English learners. So that test also requires similar requirements. And as a school, we have like 20% of our students EL, a total 148 students. So we started 2 months ago and we still haven't completed. We still have not completed testing all of our 148 students, because there is a lot of requirements, like such as, you know, they have to use a secure browser, they have to have their camera on, they have to have a very, you know, good internet. For, you know, all those things and just experiencing the LPAC with firsthand. You know, as a staff, we also check with our department chairs, other teachers. We said, you know what, let's not push it, because it's going to be a challenge. You know, it's going to be definitely a big challenge due to comply with those requirements. So that's why as a school, as a staff, we also decided not to administer the aspect, but go with the MAP testing. I think, you know, you already mentioned the other reasons, Erdinç, but I just wanted to kind of give that example because that kind of draw our decision.
Thank you, Mustafa. Mustafa was our principal for MSA 1. We'll turn it over to Mr. Searce, principal MSA San Diego, to reflect their process as well.
Good evening, board members, public, and Magnolia team. My name is Gökhan Searce, principal of our MSA San Diego school. First of all, I would like to thank Mr. Ajar and academic team for making this a very collective, collaborative process. We had principals and Dean of Academics meetings to discuss the details. Then we took this talking points to our staff and we got their feedback. And at the end, we shared our feedback with the Mr. Ajar and academic team so that they were able to actually hear what each school has to say. And just like Mr. Sahin said, in addition to all those reasons listed, I think one of our biggest piece is the secure browser and implementation of the test at home. So we had the opportunity to test our English learners, and at our school, that number is actually almost one third of the number that MSA 1 has. And we also couldn't finish our LPAC test. And if the camera malfunctions or if a student actually closes the camera, the secure browser just kicks out the user and then the student has to start over the testing. And with all the, you know, limited time and with all these roadblocks that we saw, we kindly asked our home office and now we are asking you to approve that we do not do the assessment as the aspect assessment, SBA, and the science test. Instead, for our school, and we would like to just do the NWA MAP, which is also state approved academic assessment. And if you have any questions, I would love to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Searce. This concludes my report, our report with the principals collectively. I'll turn it over to Jennifer for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Ajar and our principals. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
This is Mikan. Sajar, in terms of implementing our own and versus the state's testing, in terms of staff or budgeting purposes, does it require anything like significantly like more or less compared to one another?
Can I answer that question, Erdinç?
Well, I was going to say principals can chime in too, but thanks, Mr. Sahin.
No problem. So at the beginning, again, this is Mr. Sahin, Mustafa Sahin, principal from MSA 1. So as we kind of expected this would come at the beginning of the school year, we decided to administer MAP fall and winter just to be able to show some data to our renewal petition. So that's why in the fall, we tested differently, and then in winter, we decided to test a different way. So then what we decided, we kind of dedicated one day and then we just use our own staff and own resources. And then we were able to complete 95% of our students, I would say within like 4 days. So we don't need any other materials. We don't need any other resources. Whatever we have available at the school site, we can definitely implement and then administer MAP testing without anything that we need to purchase or add, you know. So we have tried, we have that system already in place. So we don't need anything.
Yeah, I would like to add, thank you, Mustafa. You know, these tests are being paid for, state tests are, you know, paid by the state. And NWA tests we have been paying, you know, from our budgets regardless. The only cost is actually you cannot materialize it well is the loss of you know, quality learning time with multiple testing. It's been scheduled in May, including the you know AP tests and WAs and the SFACs. And the remaining time, we counted less than 10 days left in person to finish the school year. You know, those days actually will be spent by testing if we choose to administer those tests as well. So that's kind of a big impact on the students and teachers as well.
Got it. But I'm assuming that the results that we get from these tests like gives us or guides us, right, in putting together a curriculum or emphasizing on certain areas, I'm assuming.
Correct. Specifically, NWA MAP tests are, they do produce more detailed results at the student grade level and the school level more than the state SPAC tests. With NWAs, we can, with SPAC, we get student group data like the ELs, students with disabilities, you know, Hispanic, white, demographic data broken down. With NWA, we have, it's limited, so we can go as small as possible. Sometimes with SPAC, you know, we have to have 10 students in that group to have the result. But for NWA, that's not the case. We can dissect the data to each individual student level, regardless of their group size. So, and then the result comes with a correlation with the curriculum, and the way it comes with a curriculum called Descartes curriculum. So we know right away as soon as learning level, what they have mastered, what their zones of proximal development is, what their functional level is, and what's upcoming for to introduce as a next concept and skill. So from those aspects, NWA maps are more powerful. And then we feed our data into our remediation programs like Khan Academy or IXL. You know, those are, you know, online programs or remediation programs that feed into student achievement data. And then we can fill in the gaps and, you know, close the achievement gap between the students and the expected grade level performance.
Thank you. That answers.
Any further comments or questions from our board members?
Yeah, I have a question. How are other schools are doing? And another question is like, does all the students have to take it at the same time? Like, because of that, we can't do it. But would it be possible if we kind of do it in a rotation basis, like, I don't know, spread to 5 days and every day certain, like 20% of students come on site and take it. So those things are, I'm assuming they're not viable, but I would like to hear why the explanation is.
Right. Good question. I'll turn it over to Gökhan. Yes, go ahead.
Good evening, board members, and Dr. Dikbaş. First of all, I want to share that normally we actually provide the test on alternating days. And with the current hybrid schedule, we actually, in a week, we have the students on campus only for 2 days for 4 hours, a little bit over 4 hours. As a result, if we were to do SPEC test and the science test, for example, the rest of the 7 weeks that we have, it would be just designated for testing purposes. And it will most probably be not enough, and we would continue in the afternoons. But the biggest problem is for the students who are actually virtual learners, distance learners, and they have to join from their home. And if there are any technical difficulties, then the problem with secure browser comes. And if the camera malfunctions or if there's an internet issue, then the student is actually kicked out of the test. So that's why we, during this LPEC testing process for English learners, we see that this was a little bit stressful for our staff and students. That's why we actually wanted not to do it. But one other important thing to note is in San Diego County, we actually have a shared document where we post our final decision. And right after this board meeting, I will fill out the form to notify all the other school and school districts, charter schools and school districts, what we are doing. And on that document, majority of the school districts in San Diego County, they are using either MAP testing or iReady or another alternative assessment rather than the SBAC test. And half of the charter schools are utilizing the NWEA or STAR testing or iReady, and the other half based on the entries. And there are so far 79 entries are doing the other half is doing the SBAC test. And again, it depends on the school size. It depends on the school's hybrid learning or in-person learning or distance learning. But in our case, we really think that if we try to implement the state testing right now as is, it will put a lot of stress on the students and staff, and it will pretty much take, especially for eighth graders, take the entire rest of the year because they also have the science test. And for the sixth and seventh graders, it will take majority of the last 7 weeks.
Thank you for the detailed explanation. I appreciate it.
And one quick note is San Diego Unified is still making their decision. They did not post their results yet. Just
Thank you, Mr. Sears. Any further questions or comments from the members of our board? If there are no further questions, the motion is to approve the revised assessment plans for all schools. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I move the motion.
Thank you, Dr. Dickbush. Who seconded, sorry?
Bikhan.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. I'll now take roll call vote. Rabbi Beliak? Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you. Rabbi Beliak?
I think you have to unmute him.
And I think he stepped out.
I think so too.
One more time. Rabbi Beliak, for your vote. Okay, so for this case, we will have him as absent for this vote since he was not able to vote for this item. Regardless, the motion still carries. So next on the agenda, we'll move on to 3C, approval of COVID-19 testing through PMH Laboratory, Inc. for co-located sites, MSA 2, MSA 3, MSA 4, MSA 5, and MSA 8. This will be presented by Ms. Hush Mirza, our Director of Human Resources. Ms. Hush Mirza.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good evening, board members, colleagues, and public. My name is Daria Ajmirza. I am the Director of Human Resources. So as approved by the board in March 2021, MSA 2, 3, 4, 5, and 8 entered into an agreement with the LAUSD Testing and Community Engagement Program Agreement for the baseline and regular weekly testing, COVID-19 testing for 2021 and 21-22 school year. However, in order for MPS to best serve their students, staff, and families, MPS wants to add additional testing vendor when needed, where the LAUSD is unable to provide testing in a timely or efficient manner. So with that, I ask the board tonight to approve partnership with PMH Laboratory for baseline, regular, symptomatic, and response testing for our co-located, LAUSD co-located sites, MSA 2, 3, 4, 5, and 8. And with that, I'll turn it over to Jennifer for questions and comments you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hushmirza. Is there any questions or comments for the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
I just have a quick question. This is Mekhan.
So we've been working with them at other sites so far, right? And overall, we are happy with them. Your feedback and maybe it's feedback from schools that you've gotten.
Yes, so I see, I mean, everything seemed good with PMH. So we've had baseline testing. We are having every 2 weeks testing with the private sites. And we did have our baseline testing for MSA 2 and 5 as it was approved by the board. So I see some of our principals online if they want to chime in and give their feedback. But from my perspective, we did not have any issues. But if anyone wants to chime in, please do so.
Hey, this is Brad from Magnolia Science Academy 5 Los Lobos. Just speaking for how quickly PMNH was able to accommodate our school site so that we could start our in-person learning was really a big benefit to our school site. They were quick, they were swift, and then it gave us the opportunity to actually start on time other than the struggles that we had with getting our students through LAUSD. So I just wanted to add that about this process.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Daria. Thank you, Brad.
This is David Garner, the principal from Magnolia Science Academy 2. I'm also going to reiterate what Brad just said. You know, we did have a hard time pinning down, you know, resources and locations to do the testing at LUSD sites. They definitely, you know, have a great team there. But in terms of just efficiency, we were experiencing some delays for our site in our desired opening date. That being said, I would reiterate how fast PMH was able to schedule the testing, thanks to our awesome HR team and support from the home office as well. And you know how efficiently we were able to get our students and staff tested in one location instead of having to send them, you know, to multiple locations, you know, throughout the county and setting up their own appointments. We were able to efficiently do it together as one school event, which was much appreciated by our families and staff. So I would just like to reiterate, you know, why we support this at MSA too.
Thank you, David.
I'm really glad that the otherwise stressful process at least was a little bit eased down by choosing a right company. So thank you.
Any further questions or comments from the members of our board?
Yes, I have a question. This is Sandra Covarrubias. Do we have a green light from LAUSD to use this vendor? Sorry.
Can you repeat the question again?
Do we have the green light from LAUSD to use this vendor?
So this is... basically, we're adding additional testing. So LAUSD is still our testing vendor. So, but when we, during our meetings with LAUSD, and we've been having everyday meetings this past, I would say 10 days. And then because of the systemic struggles that we were having, they did say it's okay for schools, for families and staff to get external testing and then upload it to or provide it to LAUSD or provide to the school sites. So they did approve getting an external testing, COVID testing.
And even though they're outside, we're still gonna get funds for it?
Yes, so we have to provide, so the school sites have been providing, and I have David and Brad also, they can chime in more details, but once we have the external testing, they're still uploading in their LAUSD daily pass, and then we're still able to provide the testing as required by LAUSD.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions or comments? If not, the motion is to approve the partnership with PMH Laboratory of baseline, regular, symptomatic, and response testing for Magnolia Science Academy 2, 3, 4, 5, and 8 for the remainder of 2020 through 21 fiscal year. With that, would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Is there a second?
I'll second it. Mekon.
Thank you, Mr. Mohamedov. I'll now take roll call vote. Rabbi Beliak? Dr. Digbush?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you. Rabbi Beliak? So Rabbi Beliak would be counted as absent for this vote. Regardless, the motion still carries with 4 yeses. So that concludes all of our action items for tonight's meeting. We'll move on with closed session. I don't know if Rabbi Beliak is back. Rabbi Beliak, are you here? So since he's not here and our vice chair is not with us in this meeting, Ms. Covarrubias, could you please announce the closed session items for tonight's meeting?
Let me see, hold on.
Jennifer, can you walk her through, just call them out?
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
way she could just rephrase what you say?
Of course, so the items being public employee performance evaluation for the CEO, conference with legal counsel, anticipation, initiation of litigation to matters, and public employment.
So these are the items that we're about to do in closed session. So we're reporting out after closed session. So do you, I have to give us time?
No.
Okay.
So thank you. So I will now open up the rooms for the closed session. Give me 1 second. For those that need to join, the room has been opened.
Thank you, Jennifer. Have a good night.
Hi, good night.
Thank you, Jennifer.
For those here, yes.
Are we joining it too?
Yes, yeah. C team, uh-huh. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Of course. For those here in open session, you're more than welcome to stay. You can mute yourself and turn off your camera until closed session is over and open session is back. All right, everyone, welcome back to open session. The time is 7:38 p.m. Rabbi Beliak, may you please report out of closed session?
We had a number of conversations with staff, received a number of reports, and we've directed staff to act.
Perfect. Thank you for that, Rabbi Beliak. With that, that concludes the end of our all of our agenda items for today's meeting. With that, Rabbi Beliak, may you please adjourn today's meeting? The time is 7:38 p.m.
I wanted to just share with people that today, several of us attended the funeral of Ms. Brimmer's daughter, Chantel, and how moved I was, I know other people, to learn of this young lady's leadership and what a great loss. One of the things that occurred to me was just how important our school in the Carson area is to reaching out to a significant part of the Los Angeles community. And we extend again our condolences to the Brimmer family. And if there's no objection, I would like to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you for that, Rabbi Beliak. The new time of adjournment is 7:39 p.m. With that, have a good night, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Bye.
Bye.